Support comes from Pacific Science Center, celebrating spring at PacSci with butterflies at the Tropical Butterfly House, sea creatures in the saltwater tide pool, and Jane Goodall, Reasons for Hope at the IMAX Theater, a journey around the globe to share good news stories. Learn more at PacSci.org.
You're listening to SoundSide. I'm Libby Denkman. In Washington State, if a teacher or other certified school staff commits serious misconduct like abuse, districts are required to report that to the state for investigation and possibly the revocation of that person's certification to work in schools. But that rule doesn't cover staff who are not certified, like coaches. That's just one of the loopholes that KUOW investigative reporter Ann Dornfeld uncovered in a new story out today. She also found these lax rules around reporting abusive coaches may let them get jobs in other districts or at other schools in the districts. Ann Dornfeld joins me in studio now to dig more into these loopholes and how they allegedly played out at Garfield High School in Seattle. Ann, thanks very much for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Libby.
So, in Washington, if a counselor, teacher, or school nurse, whatever, does something bad, they have to be reported to the state, and the state will look at what to do, you know, maybe revoke their certification so they can no longer work in schools. But that's not the case for everyone who works in a school, as you report here in this new story. So who is the exception to this law, and why is that the case?
Well, what the State Office of Professional Practices does is they look at what someone might have done and whether it violates the rules of their certificate. So that is, you know, people like teachers, as you mentioned, hold certificates, are required to work in public schools, at least in Washington State. And the state can then take action against the certificate. They can suspend it. They can revoke it. But they can deny a certificate in the first place for someone who's done something elsewhere. But if someone does not hold a certificate, the state doesn't have the authority to act on that certificate. They only are investigating and disciplining staff with certificates. And that's only some of who works in schools. Coaches, unless they are certificated, say some teachers coach, but unless they are certificated for a different position, they're not required to hold a certificate to coach in Washington State. Other states do require coaches to have certificates.
Now, I want to get more into that legal loophole in just a minute. I just want to be clear. We're talking about two things here. One is about professional misconduct and the way that the Office of Professional Practices looks into whether or not somebody should be certified to work in a school. The other is the issue of mandatory reporting. That's a criminal thing that, you know, somebody who works in a school is obligated to report if they suspect abuse to Child Protective Services, to the police. And those are two separate things, but they are related here in this story as we continue on. As we dig more into these loopholes, I first want to talk about two specific instances that brought this issue to your attention, Anne. And both of these cases involve former coaches at Garfield High School here in Seattle, Walter Jr. Jones and Marvin Wayne Hall. Who are these two former coaches at Garfield, and how did this loophole apply?
Well, a former Garfield student who played with the girls' basketball team starting when she was in middle school, actually, she trained with them, says that a volunteer weight training coach, who was Walter Jr. Jones, violently raped her multiple times, beginning when she was still in middle school in 13. She'd met him at Garfield. That was in 2013, and he is now set to stand trial July 15th on two felony child rape charges for those allegations. Now, the same student from Garfield says that a couple of years later, while she was playing on the girls' basketball team, a second Garfield coach started a long-term abusive sexual relationship with her at the time she was 17. Now, it's worth noting that regardless of the age of consent in Washington, school staff, by law, are never allowed to have sex with K-12 students of any age due to the power imbalance.
If this happened, it's still a crime. It doesn't matter what age you are. If you're in a K-12 school,
you could be 21 and it's still illegal as a student. Right. Now, Hall has not been charged with a crime, but he was fired from his job as head coach of the Garfield girls basketball team in 2022 when the district started investigating the allegations. He denies the allegations. The district determined in its own investigation that he did commit sexual misconduct with that girl and boundary violations with a second student. And those allegations of sexual misconduct are now under investigation by Seattle police.
But the district did fire Marvin Hall. And I want to stay with that case for just a second. According to the district investigation, as you said, there was the mishandling of these allegations as things were swirling about what Marvin Wayne Hall allegedly had done with this student. What are SPS's requirements for following up on allegations of sexual misconduct? And what went wrong here, Anne?
Well, the district requires that the same thing that the state does in state law for mandatory reporters, of course, that certificated, they're all called professional staff under state law, but that generally means certificated, I'm told by attorneys, that they are required to report to police, and they're also required, or CPS, and they're also required to report to certain district administrators, safety, security, et cetera. But in addition to that, they add that other school staff, that all school staff have to report to the proper administrator, which could be kind of hard for people to know, especially if people aren't doing it very often, who they're supposed to report to and what they're supposed to report. In the ideal scenario, this is not something that happens very often. But what we found in the in looking at the Garfield cases is that when some allegations went to different staff members at the district level and also at the school level, that people handled them differently. There was one staff member who went to police pretty quickly, but there were other staff members at the district level who said, oh, well, you know, this is the district's athletic director and deputy athletic director. The investigator said that both of them thought that the other person was going to refer the allegations to the Human Resources Department, which is not actually who you're supposed to report to. But either one, both of them said, oh, I thought that he was doing it, I thought she was doing it, and it didn't get done according to the investigation. So what I found is that I spoke to an attorney who's worked as an attorney for Seattle Public Schools and other districts as well. And she said what's ideal is that districts hold everyone to the same standard of reporting to police or CPS. That, you know, levels the playing field, makes it simple, it's easy to explain and easy to train, she said. So that is what some districts do. And she said that districts are wise to simplify things so that everyone knows what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it.
Yeah, this issue of the certified staff and non-certified staff being treated differently creates confusion, and it leads to things not being followed up on. And I want to get to more on that in just a second. In the case of Marvin Hall, you found that resignations can also have an impact on SPS's investigation into alleged abuse. So when the district fired Marvin Hall from his coaching position at Garfield in 2022, he then resigned from his job at Garfield, and that had an effect on the investigation into alleged misconduct here. What happened?
So he was both a security staff member at Garfield for his day job, and then additionally the coach. And the coach was easy to fire because they work kind of on a, you know, at the district's whim. But as the security staff member, he resigned after he was fired from his coaching position. And in Seattle Public Schools, the practice that I have seen, not just in this case, but other cases, is the district will halt investigations into serious staff misconduct very often, if not always, when the staff member resigns. And what the attorney I spoke to, who had also worked in Seattle Public Schools, told me is that that treats it as if it's just a personnel issue. What do we do about this person? Do we fire them or let them stay on? Rather than as a investigation into what are the systems that allowed this to happen? Did this really happen? And if it did happen, even if the person has resigned, what can we tell future districts or other employers if they come calling? Because unless you've completed your own investigation, you can get charged with a slander or libel for, you know, saying we think this person did it. But if you haven't done your own investigation, you can't say for sure. Additionally, the state does allow districts to destroy records of unsubstantiated allegations of abuse. Well, even if it happened, if you haven't taken the time to substantiate it, then it's classified as unsubstantiated, and you can destroy those records.
Yeah.
But there are good reason to hold on to those records, so you have to complete those investigations, the attorney said, in order to have that stand up.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about kids and whether somebody can get a job somewhere else working with kids. So the former student who has accused both Hall and Jones of sexual abuse has filed a notice of a tort claim, which is a prerequisite for a lawsuit, and is seeking damages from Seattle Public Schools. How is the district responding?
Well, I asked the district multiple times for interviews, not just on these individual cases at Garfield, but also on their own policies and practices. They either ignored my emails or declined them and said that they cannot comment while there is this pending legal claim.
Hmm. And you did reach out to the Office of the Superintendent for Public Instruction as well. And they pointed out that some states do hold coaches to a higher standard, similar to certified staff. What would changing the law here, Anne, potentially mean for keeping track of disciplinary actions against coaches in Washington state?
Well, primarily, it would allow the state to investigate and take disciplinary action against those coaching certificates, up to revoking them. It would also let the state share that disciplinary action, whatever it may be, with other states and districts in Washington through this nationwide database that districts can sign up for to check on, you know, disciplinary action. And that helps for state-to-state transfers, too. In addition, the state has its own online list of staff who they have disciplined at the state level, and we link to that in the story. That is a quick and easy way that even, you know, say a Boys and Girls Club can check and say, hey, is this coach someone who has gotten in trouble before, and if so, for what?
Yeah. And is there any movement at the state level to make sure that this happens, that abusive coaches, whether they're certified or not, are reported and don't get hired elsewhere?
If there is, I'm not aware of it. But there are, as you mentioned, and as we look at in the story, a lot of states that could serve as examples for some options that Washington State could, take to strengthen laws to protect kids and kind of level the playing field in schools to make more people mandatory reporters and let the state investigate more employees.
Yeah, I think that there just has to be a reckoning here with both of these issues. So the fact that there were allegations swirling at Garfield over, again, allegations, there has not been criminal charges in the case of Marvin Hall, but he was fired in 2022 by Garfield. All of that leads me to question, why wasn't there more of the mandatory reporting requirement? Why wasn't that, you know, passed along to CPS or to the cops? But then there's also this loophole issue with the professional misconduct. Why wasn't there, you know, more of a move to try to look and see, hey, should this person also potentially future be able to work in schools? I mean, these two issues are so interrelated. Anne, is there anything else that you can say about, you know, lessons learned out of these cases or questions that you're going to be looking at going forward on the issue of coaches, abuse allegations, and accountability?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting that you and I are mandatory reporters because every so often, not often for me at least, not often enough, we work with our radioactive students. So mm-hmm. young people who are learning the craft of radio, and occasionally we might edit their stories. For me, it's every few years, but I'm still a mandatory reporter for that reason. But someone in a public school who's working one-on-one closely with a child every day, or a coach who very notably is working after hours, sometimes at away games and other states, there's hotels involved, is not a mandatory reporter under state law. That's very strange. And I think that what has happened with the mandatory reporter law is that it kind of started out as a framework and different professions got added to it over the years as people kind of tack things on, but that there hasn't been this, let's pull back and look at, you know, who's missing from this list.
Yeah.
And what school staff positions have been added to your typical public school or private school since the law was created that are missing from this and that should be mandatory reporters. Also, you know, I think it would be a lot of work for the state to be able to investigate many more additional levels of school staff But it is something that is happening, at least with coaches in so many states, and it seems like that could be a way that Washington could take an additional step with these people who have so much after school hours access to kids.
Why not certify the coaches so that they can be a part of that professional accountability process? I mean, I know it adds some extra loopholes to get involved and coach kids, but it seems like a way to ensure, you know, better standards here. And we're just about out of time, but Ann Dornfeld, investigative reporter with KUOW, thank you so much for your reporting, and we hope to follow it as it goes forward.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.